delight to be back here in Walsall again today and to bring the good news of glad tidings to you. Days we're living in, awful dark days, and many people, I can understand, depressed and distressed. Who knows what the end of it will be? But of course there are things that we do know, and we want to share with you in order that you might share in this knowledge of God, that is, and come to an understanding, come to an experience of His grace and love. It's the only thing, don't you know, that can sustain a body through such dark times as this. It's the only thing, you know, that can keep us afloat. It's the only thing that can give us hope. It's the hope, the Bible says, that doesn't disappoint. But, you know, I do wonder to myself, you know, that, time and again, how do people get by without knowing Jesus? How do people get by without the love of God? You know, especially in times like this. Loneliness, you know, like I say, you know, depression, and who knows what's going to come next, you know, the fallout from this. You know, no jobs, no money. It's absolutely horrendous. But we just want to, you know, that there is a hope that doesn't disappoint, you know. There's a way back to God from the dark path of sin. There's a pathway to joy, joy that's unspeakable. There's a pathway to, to the peace of God that passes all understanding. And it's that we're here to tell you about again, once again today. If you'd like a copy of God's Word, New Testament of the Bible here, offered to you quite freely, no cost, no obligation to you. You're simply and only for the taking. God's Word, you know, able to make you wise for salvation, impart wisdom to you, bring you to a knowledge of the love and the grace and the mercy and the pity of God. It's what the Word of God was given to us, to bring us to faith. Faith in Jesus, that is. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So take God's Word home with you. Read, digest, meditate, think on it, you know. Think on these things, you know. The Word of God. Who knows? But He'll maybe enlighten your mind and give you the understanding that you need. The understanding you need, first of all, of course, about your sin. You know that you have a need that you're probably totally unaware of today, now at this moment in time. But you know, for God to uncover your sin and to show you, realize that, you know, that you're undone, not just here in this world, but for eternity. You see, my friends, this world, you know, bad though it is, you know, it's there's an eternity coming. You know, I hear some people, they tell me, well, hey, preacher man, I'm in hell now. No, you're not. I may feel that way. I understand that. I've been there, believe me. But no, you're not. Not yet. And here's a glimmer of hope for you. You know, it could be a lot worse. You know, you could be out of this world. You could be in hell now, but you're not. And here you are today. You're getting another opportunity of hearing about the grace, the love, the mercy, and the pity of God in Jesus Christ, His Son. That through embracing Him, believing in Him, that you might be saved. Saved for time and saved for eternity. That you might have the assurance that should you die, were you to breathe your last, even this very day, that you would, well, you would go to heaven. You would be heaven bound instead of hell bound. But without Jesus, well, I tell you, there is no hope. Without Jesus, there is no love. Without Jesus, there is no peace. Without Jesus, there is no joy. Without Jesus, there's no end of the misery in sight. Look unto Jesus. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved, he says. Be saved. How? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But you know, when we get times of distress like we got just now, you know, trouble comes, you know, in whatever shape or form it comes, you know. And people, you know, they start muttering about and against God. You know, they say, just like it says in the Bible, listen up if you will, Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 20, if you want to check it out. Where God says, yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. The way of the Lord is not just, in other words. You know? And isn't that just like ourselves, you know? You say, trouble comes, you know, times of distress, like we got at the moment, and you say, well, you know, hey, God's not fair, you know? This is God's doing, and surely it is, no question about that. God's doing, he's brought it on us, and only he'll take it away. But here's the thing, my friend, you know, you start to mutter and complain, you say, God isn't fair, God isn't just, God isn't equal. Well, that's not true, because he is perfectly just. But listen, my friend, the last thing that you need from God is justice. That's the last thing that you need. If we were to get justice, we would, all of us, every one of us, we would be damned. No, it's grace that you need. It's the grace of his love, his mercy, his pity, his kindness, his forgiveness. That's what you need. So don't go about like these people that do, saying that God is not just, that God is not fair. He is perfectly fair, perfectly just. But you know, it's the stubbornness, it's the perversity of men's hearts, you see, because of our fallen condition, because of our fallen natures, you know. We got this stubborn streak in us, you know, this perversity, you know, that wants to blame everybody and anybody, even God, you know. Couldn't possibly be your fault, couldn't possibly be mine. You know, it's your neighbor, it's your wife, it's your husband, somebody else, even God. Blame everybody and anybody but yourself. But you see, we've all got that in us. Every one of us. Yourself and myself included. The stubborn perversity of our sinful natures. But that's what Jesus came to save us from. To deliver us from. Take that out of us, you see, and bring us to be reconciled to God. You see, because God calls us to account for our evil ways, because of the sins, you know, of the world. That's why you see the trouble that you see in the world, because of the sins of our nation. Because the sins of your communities, your towns, your families, because of your sins, your own particular sins. Time and time again, God brings us to account, and he brings judgments upon us to chastise us, to awaken us to the reality of our sin and the reality of his grace that is to be found in Jesus Christ, the only escape route out of the judgments of God. The only way, my friends, that we can be reconciled to him and know his grace, his love, his mercy, and his pity. But you see, in one breath, you say that God, you know, God doesn't exist, you know? You come arguing about the existence of God, in spite of the fact that you know that he is innately within you. You have the knowledge of God, but you come saying, oh, God isn't, there is no God, you say. But then in the next breath, the very next breath, when trouble comes to you, you're saying, oh, it's God's fault, you know. Why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't He take the cancer away? Why don't He take the COVID away? Why don't He take this away? Why don't He take your sin away, my friends? Why don't He take your sin away? Ask Him about taking your sin away. And maybe, who knows, maybe He'll take the other away. I don't know. But you see, it's our sin, my friends. It's less than we actually deserve. We deserve even worse, you know. But you carp and you complain. God's not fair. God's not just. You argue against His word. We bring His word to you. We bring the gospel to you that would bring salvation to you, but you carp against it. You carp against His providential dealings with you. God is unequal. God is unjust. God is unfair. No, He's not, my friends. You are. I am. But God is perfectly just. But you see, in your apostate condition, departed from God. All of us, my friends, vile, says God, unclean, with murderous hearts, thieves and robbers, robbing God of His worship, the due, the glory that's due to God, drunken with the wine of conceit and arrogance and pride, man thinking that he's nothing, something, when he's less than nothing, a tiny little speck of sinful dust on the horizon of God's universe, and yet you carp against Him. You say God's ways are unequal. God is being unjust with me. No, He's not. Prejudiced against the truth, God's truth that we bring to you, embracing delusions, the delusions of men's minds, I tell you, anything but the truth that's put before you, and you'll believe it, you'll accept it, the delusion of evolution, of false religion, everything and anything that's contrary to the truth, my friends, you'll receive, you'll embrace, you'll believe. Does that not highlight the stubbornness and the perversity of the human nature, fallen, sinful, to the core of its being? Oh, how you need Jesus. How you need the Savior. How you need the Christ of God sent into the world, my friends, to rescue you from that perversity, to rescue you from that stubbornness, and bring His grace to you, bring His love to you, bring His mercy to you, His kindness, His loving kindness that is better than life. If only you would yield, if only you would submit yourself to the Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ. You come here to prove me right, sir? Huh? You come here to prove us right? Always get one. So you see, my friends, when He chastises you for your sins, when He brings times like this upon you, and you carp and you complain, it's unfair, God shouldn't do this. Well, believe me, or rather believe God's word, it could be a lot worse. And I don't know, you know, I don't see any sign of anybody waking up spiritually. I don't see you forsaking your false religions. I don't see many people turning to Jesus. I don't see many people in their distress, in their depression. I don't see many people crying out to God that He would have mercy upon them because of their sins. I don't see much of an awakening in our society. So the question is begging in my mind, what's He going to send next? What's He going to do next? You see, hear ye the rod, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? God has brought the rod across your backs. And still, you know, you carry on in your stubbornness, hardening yourselves in sin, in the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, I tell you, my friends, lest we waken up, lest there is repentance, lest there's a turning from sin, from that which God hates, turning to His Son, Jesus Christ. I tell you, it's only going to get worse, not going to get better sometime soon. So you see, my friends, it's not God's ways that are unjust. It's not God's ways that are unequal. It's yours and mine. It's our ways that are unequal. It's our ways that are unjust. We are, oh, to the very core of our beings, unjust. The ways of the wicked, they're unjust. I mean, think of the people back in Noah's day, before the flood came, before God in judgment flooded the then world. For years and years, the Bible says, for 120 years, Noah, a preacher of righteousness, preached the gospel to them. But they would have none of it. They rebelled against God. They wouldn't be reconciled to God. And they just laughed and they just mocked the gospel until, that is, the water came. Until the water came down and the water came up. Until, my friends, until God's judgment fell upon them. But then it was too late. It was too late. The door of the ark was closed. There was no rescue from the flood of God's judgment. And my friends, if you do not turn from your wicked ways, your unbelieving ways, if you do not turn, my friends, you will be faced with exactly the same judgment. Then the wickedness of the Sodomites, the towns, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, God rained down fire and brimstone upon them because of their uncleanness, because of their vileness. The same vileness, the same uncleanness, I tell you, that pervades Britain today, that pervades your town today. And you say God's ways are unequal. My friends, the vileness, the uncleanness that pervades your society, the fornicating, the sodomy, the same sins for which God rained down fire and brimstone upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Those sins are prevalent amongst you here today in Walsall. So when God judges you, when God chastises you, when God brings circumstances like these upon you, don't be saying He's unfair. Don't be saying He's unjust. Rather, my friends, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and acknowledge that you're getting less than you deserve. Acknowledge that God is right to chasten you, that God is right to judge you, that God is right to bring these circumstances upon you. And in humility of mind, turn, repent, believe the gospel in order that you might be saved and that God's judgment removed from off of you and God deal with you, not according to your sins, but according to His grace, according to His mercy, according to His pity, according to His kindness in Jesus Christ, His Son. That's, my friends, that's the way out of it. But then, my friends, think of it, you've been slighting the gospel. We've heard you, my friends. We've heard you time and time again, slighting the gospel. We bring the good news of the gospel to you. And it is good news that God appointed and anointed a Savior, Jesus, His only begotten Son, sent Him into the world to die on a cross in order that you might be forgiven. We bring this good news to you. And we preach it promiscuously to all and everybody and anyone who will listen. But we've heard you time and time again. God has heard you time and time again, slighting the gospel, throwing it in our faces, and cursing us in our teeth. Oh, my friends, we've heard it so many times. We're armor plated. It just bounces off us. We've heard it so many times from you. But my friends, not only have we heard it, God has heard it. When you blaspheme his name, when you blaspheme his holy gospel, when you slight the gospel, when you slight his son and you cast it in our faces, God hears you. And I tell you, in that day when he judges you, I tell you, these very paving stones in front of me will testify against you. Yes, you did slight the gospel. Yes, you did throw it in the preacher's face. And you wonder, and you say God's ways are unequal. You say God's ways are unjust. No, not your ways. It's your wicked ways. Your slighting of the gospel, that was unjust. But I tell you, even those who have slighted the gospel even now, even such could be saved. Even those who have rejected it maybe all their lives long, oh, even now you could be saved in the way that is of repentance, in the way of faith towards the Son of God. Were you to yield? Were you to give up your fight, your struggle against the Almighty? Were you to repent, believe the gospel, you would be saved of your slighting the gospel. Were you to embrace it, that is, in love and in faith. And then, of course, there's many of you who are willfully ignorant of what it does, what it takes for a man to be saved. One man in the Bible, in distress, he cried out, here's what to do with your distress. Here's what to do with your depression. Here's what to do with your loneliness. Cry out as he did. What must I do to be saved? And the answer was given to him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he was saved. He and his whole household. So you see, my friends, a willful ignorance. Not knowing the way. I am the way, says Jesus. But you should know that. That's basic knowledge, my friends. That's the ABCs of the gospel. Never mind the deep mysteries of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, says Jesus. He's the way. But here you are in ignorance. And ignorance is no excuse, my friend. None at all. It's a willful ignorance. You have access to the Bible. We come preaching to you every Monday. So, my friends, if you're ignorant of the way of salvation, it's your own fault. It's your own fault. You've got no excuse. You've got Bibles. We offer you a copy of the Bible every time we come. Every time we come, but you'll have none of it. You remain in your ignorance. You remain in your blindness. But it's willful, stubborn perversity against the Almighty, against your Creator. So, my friends, don't be saying that God's ways are unequal, are unjust. It's your ways. Your ways are unjust, not God's. And then, of course, well, we've got the moralists here, I guess, in Walsall, just like everywhere else. Morally upright. Oh, yes, you wouldn't be seen dead doing drugs. Never robbed a bank, you see. Never killed anyone, you see. I'm okay, thank you very much. I'm a very respectable person. I live in a nice, semi-detached house. I keep it clean. I teach my children not to lie. And sometimes, now and again, I'll frequent the church. I'm a morally upright person. What could God possibly have against such as me? This, my friend, this, your self-righteousness is like filthy rags in his sight. Your self-righteousness is an abomination to you. The one class of people that Jesus never, ever had anything to say to. The self-righteousness. Bring your moralists. Bring your moralism. Bring your self-righteousness to the law of God and get it shredded. My friends, your moral uprightness will not save you. You might not have killed somebody. You might not have done the drugs. But you sinned against God. In your self-righteousness, in your pride and your morality, a stench in the nostrils of God. And you say, why has God done this to me? Why has he sent this disease? Why has he allowed me to become distressed and depressed, lonely and forsaken in this world? Why has he brought these circumstances upon me? When I'm a morally good person, there's none good, says God, and none that doeth good, no, not one. No, my friends, God's ways are not unjust. Your ways are, but not God. But you could be saved from your morality. You could be saved from your self-righteousness. If you bring it to the cross, if you humble yourself, if you forsake your self-righteousness, abandon it, grind it to powder before the cross of Jesus Christ and cry out to him that he would have mercy upon you, a wicked, self-righteous, proud, arrogant individual before God Almighty. Oh, my friends, the cross, that's the only place to find the love of God. That's the only place to find the grace of God. That's the only place to find, my friends, the salvation of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for wicked sinners, rebels. And then there's many of you. You cling to your false religion. The false religion, I tell you, that fills your society today would be enough to bring the judgment of God upon you without anything else. Oh, my friends and teams, synagogues and temples and mosques, promoting and proclaiming religion that's contrary to God, contrary to his word, to his truth. Little wonder God's judging you. Little wonder God's bringing these circumstances upon you today. Oh, what will he do if you do not repent and turn to the truth and believe the truth? Men turn to false religion. Why? Because they do not love the truth. They do not want the truth. They're no better than atheists. They're just the same, my friends. Only the truth, says Jesus, will make you free. The truth of the gospel, the truth about your sin, and the truth about God in his grace and mercy, sending his only begotten Son into the world, that you might be saved through him and through him alone. Friends, there is no other. And there is no other way back to God from the dark, dark path of sin. The way just gets darker and darker. Come to the light. Go to Christ and He will give you light, life and liberty through the Son of God. And all my friends, the gospel has been preached amongst you, and still you're not saved. We've been preaching the gospel to you these last years here in Walsall, Monday by Monday, and still you're not saved. I've been preaching the gospel in this land for 40 years, and I can count on both hands the number of people that I know have been converted. You hear the gospel again and again, and it just bounces off you, like seed off of the rock, the stony ground of your hearts. Oh, my friends, God needs to give you a heart of flesh. God needs to take the heart of stone out of you and give you a heart of flesh. Give you a heart that loves Him. Give you a heart that hates your sin that has brought this judgment upon you. For God to regenerate you, in other words, cause you, that is, to be born again. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God must bring new life to you. God must resurrect you from the dead. God, my friends, must break your stony hearts and bring you to tears of repentance, sorrow, because you've offended His love. That's not fair. Oh, you say God is unequal. You say God is unfair. No, you are unfair. You've rejected the overtures of His love. You've rejected His grace. You've rejected His Son. Oh, I wonder to myself, what will God do with men and women? He will judge the nation. He will judge the people who have never, ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what will He do to you who have heard it again and again and again and rejected it? Oh, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way. In your ways that are unequal, in your ways that are unjust, in your ways that are unfair towards God, you sinned against the Almighty. You sinned against your Maker. You transgressed His law. You are under His wrath now. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's now, but what will He do with you in that day, in that time when He brings you before His throne of judgment? Oh, my friends, it's appointed for man once to die. Madam, you're going out of this world. You're going out of this world feet first. You're going out of this world the way you came in, naked, with nothing. You won't take the iPhone with you. You won't take the tablet with you. You won't take the money with you. You won't take nothing with you. Naked you came into the world, and naked you go out of the world. But covered in your sin. Covered, my friends, already in the wrath of God. And to be judged by your Maker. To be judged by your Maker. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that comes the judgment. And my friends, then you will find that God's way with you were not unequal. They were not unjust at all. No. You could have been saved. You could have been stood before the judgment throne of God without any condemnation at all. If you had embraced the gospel, if you had believed on His Son, if you had yielded, submitted yourself to the Son of God, you would have been saved, because that's the promise of God in the gospel, that those who repent and believe the gospel, He will save. He will save them. That's what He sent His Son for. I shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And Jesus saves, my friends, in the way of repentance, in the way of faith towards the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. Oh, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus today. Have you heard the voice of Jesus gently calling you apart from your sin, from this sin-cursed and judged world? Come apart. Come to Jesus. Come unto me, and I will give you rest for your souls. The rest of God. The peace of God, my friends, that passes all understanding, that comes to the hearts of men and women who make their peace with God, who submit to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, in the way of repentance and faith. Just as Jesus says, repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Walsall. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like to have a copy of God's word? It's offered to you. No cost, no obligation to you. Freely offered to you. Take, read, digest, meditate upon God's word. See for yourself the message of salvation, the grace, the kindness of God to undeserving sinners. You even take a copy of God's word. Who knows, but perhaps God command the light to shine into your heart and mind and reveal the knowledge of Himself in the face of Jesus Christ, His Son. Like a copy of God's word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you in the way of repentance and faith towards His Son. May God bless you and have mercy, Walsall, upon you.